necessarily. Verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? This is another thing about the law. The law is really not interested in what God says. The law is interested in what men think. The law is interested in how they can impress man. So do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? That's what the Jews of Jesus' time were always doing. Their mind was not to please God. Their mind was to be impressed by men. They wanted to look good in the eyes of men. And that's what the law will do. It concentrates on the outward appearance. The law never does. It can't get down to the heart of the matter. If it does, death is the only result. The law, in the final analysis, can only kill. The law can never give life. So do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, I want to point out here that Paul knew that by experience because he had been the world's greatest lawkeeper. Paul probably came as close to keeping the law as any man could. And yet, when it was all said and done, he said, I am the chief of sinners. And the reason he said that is because he did not see his need of Christ, because of the law. And so, if I yet please men, Paul knew that that was the very message. That was the whole attitude. That was the whole tenor of the law, is to please men. That's why men are under the law, to please men by outward appearance. And so, if I yet please men, Paul says, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's telling us here, you can't have it both ways. You cannot try to please men under the auspices of the law and yet be a servant of Christ. It absolutely will not work because they are contradictory one to the other. And some may really be confused by that because it was God who gave the law in the first place. But what men fail to realize is that God, nowhere in Scripture do we ever read that the law was given to make men righteous. The reason the law was given is to show up sin exceeding sinful, and it did its job well, and it still does that even today. Paul will go on here in Galatians to show us that the law was simply a schoolmaster. It was given by God, but it was just a schoolmaster just to point us to Christ. And once we have been introduced to Him, then we don't need the law anymore. School is out. And so you'll notice here that you cannot be under the law and please men and still be the servant of Christ. Verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Here's where that Paul wanted them to understand that the message that he was preaching did not come from men and all of the lawyers that they had of that day. Paul had to learn something new. And this is, as we'll go into down here in just a little bit, God really made a pioneer out of Saul of Tarsus. Because this was something absolutely foreign and contradictory to him. This was a message that was absolutely defied everything that Saul of Tarsus knew. And so he said, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man. I wasn't taught it. But notice it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what I want to see today is that that's the only way we can learn this message that Paul preached to. It is by revelation. I don't care how good a teacher may be. The only way that people will ever understand the gospel of divine grace is by revelation. Now, it is quite true that God uses teachers such as myself and many others, but still, God has to bring the lights on. God is the one who has to reveal the teaching of divine grace, and that is why that sometimes you can give out messages such as we are viewing here tonight. And men simply, because their minds are so clouded by legality, that is, law-keeping, They simply cannot see the light of divine grace at all. And so you'll notice here that Paul says, I wasn't taught all of this. I didn't learn it with my wonderful mind, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is why the grace message is so important. The grace message is not a creed. The grace message is not some complement of philosophy, divine philosophy or logic. Divine grace is a person. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we learn Christ, we learn grace. And that's why it's so important. God is introducing us to this new relationship with Christ Himself. And so the grace of God is a person, even Christ. Verse 13, you have heard of my conversation or my manner of life in time past in the Jewish religion. Well, the Jewish religion was the law. Saul of Tarsus was steeped in law. And says, you've heard about that, who I was. You can compare that with Acts 9:1, because notice what Saul of Tarsus did at that time. You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, it should not be hard for us to understand this statement. Look at the radical Muslim religion who are using the Muslim religion as an excuse for murder and to kill everyone that does not subscribe to that ungodly teaching. The same thing was true in Paul's day. He was persecuting the Christians who would not adopt the doctrine of Judaism. There's no difference in what Saul of Tarsus was doing in that day and what those radical terrorists around the world are doing in our day. Not one bit of difference. And so Paul says, you know how religious I was. It was because of the religion that Paul was doing that. This word persecute, according to the dictionary, means to plunder in a manner to injure. And you can compare that with 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11. Because John also mentions persecuting his brother and why that it just simply cannot be. Because one who persecutes another in this manner is indeed pursuing them in a manner to injure. And then he says, persecuted the church of God and wasted it. It means to destroy or to ravage it. Verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion. He profited in the Jews' religion by persecuting the Christians. Just exactly the same way that we hear of those Muslims today who are using that religion as an excuse to plunder, and they are get great merit, so to speak, in that religion by doing that. That's exactly the same thing that Saul of Tarsus was doing. He was using the law while they are using this creed of the Muslims. Profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And I want to notice that that's exactly what the law is just tradition. They had brought these things down as tradition. And that's what Saul of Tarsus was enlarging on. Let's take about 5 minutes and we'll come back and pick up with the change that came in Saul of Tarsus' life. Okay, shall we continue? Verse 15. Now, you notice, as we saw in verse 14, this is what Saul of Tarsus was. Now then, in verse 15, there comes a change. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, what we see here is that God was doing a new thing, and it was not only for Saul of Tarsus, but it was indeed for all of humanity, and especially, of course, the church age, which would mean us. And so it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. My mother's womb is the mother's womb of Israel. And God actually did have to separate Saul of Tarsus from Israel as a nation in order to do what he wanted to do. Because, you see, God was not going to continue in that vein. People talk about the giving of the law. God never did give the law to anybody but the Jews. And so yet Christians come in and they think, well, we have to adopt that law that God gave to Israel. And it is a detriment to them. Paul is going to go on to show throughout the rest of this book. And so he separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace. And this really was Paul's introduction, of course, to divine grace, just as it is for all of us. Initial salvation is our introduction to divine grace. And as we're going to see on over in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved. Well, we must learn that truth to even be saved. And so he called me by his grace. And I want to notice what he did. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me. And then number two, that I might preach him among the heathen. It is so important to realize the order of things. If you'll back up to verse 12, Paul says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus. First, God revealed Paul, revealed Christ to Paul. And then in verse 16, then he revealed Christ in Paul. And then, thirdly, he revealed Christ through Paul. And that is exactly the same process that God wants to take us through. Now, these two are very important here in verse 16, because unless we let God reveal Christ in us, then we will never be effective preachers of Christ coming through us. So to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. The heathen he's talking about is the Gentile. That's who the heathen were insofar as Israel was concerned. Anyone who was not a Jew was a heathen. And so this is the message that the people to which God called Paul to preach. So to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And then he says, immediately. He means immediately after my conversion. We know how he was converted there on that road to Damascus as God knocked him down into the dust and introduced him to himself. And so now then, immediately after that, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He did go to Ananias. We read that. But after that, Paul did not confer with flesh and blood. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the gathering center of the Jews. As we go into the book of Acts, we find that Antioch became the gathering center of the Christians. But Paul did not go up to Jerusalem because, you see, God was doing a new thing. Jerusalem was not going to be the center of things. That was the center insofar as the law and Israel were concerned, and it still is. But as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, I get so irritated at times here in the news and how that the Palestinians and all of this want to take over Jerusalem as their capital. That's ridiculous. That's the center of Israel. That belongs to Israel. And, of course, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of Israel. It was the religious capital of that time. Well, Paul didn't go up there. And the reason was because God was doing something entirely different as to what the law represented. And so he says here, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. The reason for that is because all of those that were apostles before him were kingdom apostles. And Paul was going to be the chief apostle to the church. Why in the world, we understand now, of course, I'm sure that was really confusing to Saul of Tarsus at the time, but why, if you're going to have a new message, would you send someone to teach the message of the law? Well, no, it doesn't make sense now that we know. And so this is what Paul... They were kingdom apostles. And the message that God has given to me is not that of the kingdom at all. So I didn't go to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. I think Arabia is so very important here because this basically is where the law was given. I think that God took Paul back out into the desert. Perhaps he walked in the same steps that Moses did whenever he received the law. And I think that indeed, as we read on down through these various, well, throughout the rest of Galatians, and we also see it there in the book of Romans, Saul of Tarsus had to come to a resolution here, a reconciliation concerning the law. If the law was not given to make man righteous, then why in the world was it given? Because you see, the Jews today, and even so much of the church today, is under the impression that the law was given to make us righteous, and it wasn't. And Saul of Tarsus knew that God gave that law. It had been passed down. This was the Word of God down through generations. How can you just suddenly just cut it off? And yet, there was that announcement in Jesus himself. Because Jesus himself contradicted the law over and over and over again. Read through the gospel sometime and realize how many times that the Jews would come to Jesus and say, now, thus and thus saith the law, but what sayest thou? You know, almost in a mocking manner. They did that because Jesus contradicted the law again and again and again and again. And Saul of Tarsus understood that contradiction. Well, he knew the contradiction was there. He didn't understand why. He didn't understand how to reconcile it. And so I believe that God took him right back out here where the law was given in the first place in order to give him the secrets of why that the law was given and what God was doing now. Indeed, that the law was just a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And once we understand the law and understand the grace message, we understand that the law teaches Christ all the way through. The law announces Christ. And this is exactly what God wanted to do and wants to do today. So I went into Arabia, returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years... It was 3 whole years before Paul had any connection or any meeting with these kingdom apostles. So after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. I abode with him 15 days. The other of the apostles saw I none save John, James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Those undoubtedly talking about missionary journeys, I believe. I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And you can bet, verse 24, they glorified God in me. They were glad that this persecutor had an about face, because Scripture says that Paul breathing out slaughter against it. That's murder. He was killing the Christians. And of course, they were just delighted when this man turned around and he began to preach the faith that he once persecuted. Then, as we go on to chapter 2, then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. Now, this is in reference to the conference that they had in Acts 15. And you'll notice that Paul said he went up by revelation. That means, as far as I can understand it, that no one sent out any flyers that they were going to have this. Paul simply went up by revelation to this conference which they were going to have in Jerusalem. Barnabas was with him, and Titus was with him. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So, Saul of Tarsus, he was probably Paul by that time. I don't know just when, how many years it was before Saul was changed to Paul. But nevertheless, undoubtedly by this time, after 14 years, he was known as Paul. So he went up there and he began to declare unto them the gospel he had been preaching for the last 14 years among the Gentiles. Now I want to notice the wisdom of Paul, and it is a wisdom that you and I can certainly profit from today, and it is diametrically opposed to the wisdom of men. He says, I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentile, but privately to them which were of reputation. To those that were in a place of leadership, Paul talked to them privately. Now the reason he did that is so that lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, notice the difference in God's wisdom and man's. Now we see man's wisdom even today. Now you just look at these demonstrations. They held them back in the Vietnam era. And so rather than going through the channels to the leadership and trying to get the leadership and the authority to understand what they wanted, no. You go to the people and you build enough of a pressure to the on the people to make those in authority change their mind. They're trying to do that with this immigration thing. We've seen all those demonstrations in California and all these other places. That is man's way of designing and putting on the pressure in order to get the administration or those in authority to change policy. Notice that Paul did not do that. He did not go to the people trying to get them to create a riot and an uproar in order to put the pressure on these authorities. What did he do? He went privately to them that were of reputation. Paul went to those in authority. And he knew if he can convince those that are in authority of this new message that he's preaching, then they are going to have the greatest advantage and ability to preach to those that already have their confidence. And this is exactly the way of the Scripture. You go to the authority first, not trying to use the people to put pressure on the authority. So he went privately to them which were of reputation, and the reason again, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He knew it was more effective to do it this way than it would be of man's way. Now then, notice verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, compare that with Acts 16:3, or make a contrast there, rather. And then, verses 3 to 5, compare that with 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 to 23. And this tells us that you must use wisdom according to the situation that you're in. Now here, Paul absolutely refused to circumcise Titus. And yet, in Acts 16,
he did circumcise Timothy. What's the difference? The difference is in the attitudes of the people. And so here, if Paul had circumcised Titus, it would have been equivalent to saying, yes, a Gentile has to be circumcised to be saved. And this is not the message that the Apostle Paul wanted to send. So two different events here, and he treated them in two different ways. And so the same thing must come up and will come up in our lives as to how we deal with certain people. Very often it depends on the attitude that they display as to what we are going to do, what we are able to do. So sometimes people say, well, now you treated this one this way, therefore you got to treat this one this way. No, you don't. See, it's according to the attitude of the person as to how that they are to be treated. So Titus was a Greek. He was not compelled to be circumcised. And then Paul tells us why in verse 4. And that, said that refusal, was because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul would not send the wrong message by giving in to demands that Titus be circumcised so that he would be considered clean enough to be in their midst, because circumcision is not a requirement for salvation. That is what the conference in Acts 15 was all about, whether the Gentile need to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. And they concluded, no, it was not. All right. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. See, Paul was going to make a mighty statement here, an outward statement, not just in words, but in deeds, that no, we are not going to succumb to this foolishness. So we gave place not for an hour. And notice further, that, the little word that, the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He had to demonstrate this gospel working. Not just, again, in words, but demonstration by actions that Titus was not going to be submitted to this. In verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever there were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. Does not Paul seem to be a little conceited in this place? No. He knew he had a superior message. He knew he had the message of divine grace that was for now. And the message of grace supersedes the message of law. And quite frankly, the nation of Israel, who has been under the law for all of these thousands of years, are going to have to learn that same truth, that divine grace supersedes the law. They have to understand that and realize that righteousness does not come by the law. Continuing verse 6, he said, it makes no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. Notice further, they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And that had to be absolutely true. Saul of Tarsus was an authority on the law. They couldn't add one thing that he didn't already know. He was, as we find here, he was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers than any of many of my equals. He was head and shoulders above everybody else when it came to the law. They couldn't add a thing to him there in that conference. Verse 7, but contrariwise, I added much to them. I told them things. And Peter admitted that. If you read over in his epistle, he said that Brother Paul has written things hard to be understood. It means they were hard to be understood by a dyed-in-the-wool Jew who understood only the law. Peter had to give up a lot of the things that he knew about the law, but there were many things that he was lacking, as we're going to find out here presently. So contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, the Gentile, was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. And so that is the difference in Peter and Paul. Peter was the chief apostle to the Jews, or the circumcision. Paul was the chief apostle.